Good morning. Yes. How's everybody going this morning? I'd like to welcome everybody back, I guess, Sunday. Good to see old friends. And I've also just want to especially welcome, we got Beck and Sean Worthington from Port Hedland. And so can you give us a big round of applause for Beck and Sean? Sean and Beck. I think the best way to do it is to always say Sean and Beck. You know, yes. So it's good to see these guys. What a surprise. They've seen that since 2019 we left Hedland that the kids have grown, you know, like mushrooms. They've just sprung up and got older and taller and bigger. And so, look, last week we started off our series on Jonah. And you know, we spoke about, what did we speak about, you know? We spoke about how instead of going in the direction that God wanted him to go, Jonah went the other way, you know. And so whether you're young or old, you know, there are things that you know in your heart are the right things to do. But sometimes we tend to choose to do the opposite of what is right. And the problem, you see, is that if we keep following that method of doing things in our lives, is that it will get us into a whole lot of trouble. And sometimes that trouble might take us a long time to get back on the right road. And so the encouragement was that, as we learned, is that when Jonah realized the errors of his way, he decided to pray to the Lord and say, God, you know, please watch over me, help me. And he was swallowed. And then eventually the fish spat him out, answered his prayer. When he recognized that, you know, salvation comes from the Lord, that he had done the wrong thing, had gone the wrong direction, and then God then said, and then God then sent the fish, and the fish spat him out onto the beach. And so that's where we ended last week, you know. And so in chapter 2, verse number 10, you don't have to turn to it, especially our AV guys, don't worry about that. It says, then the Lord ordered the fish to spit Jonah out onto the beach. So you can imagine this guy has been within the belly of the fish for 3 days. And, you know, by then, now we're assuming that Jonah was a white man, you know, and so he would have come out even whiter because he'd have been burnt out by some of the acids in the belly of the fish. How uncomfortable for the fish it might have been to have something squirming on the inside of you, you know? And so it must have been very relieved to get Jonah out. And so we carry it up in chapter number 3, and then I'll read chapter 3 and chapter 4. They're not that long. It's only 21 verses. Then it says, to Jonah a second time. Everybody say, a second time. Isn't it good that God will speak to you once, but he also speak to you a second time? And says, get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I have given you. This time Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see it all. On the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowd, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. The people of Nineveh believed God's message, and from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast and put on burlap to show their sorrow. Now, this was just sackcloth, you know, putting on a sack is, instead of wearing silk and linen and nice, comfortable clothes, they were wearing sacks. We all know that sacks are uncomfortable to wear, and so that was an outward sign that I am sorry. And so when the king heard what Jonah was saying, he stepped down from his throne and took off his royal robes. He dressed himself in his noble, sent this decree throughout the city. No one, not even the animals from your herds and flocks, may eat or drink anything at all. People and animals alike must wear garments of mourning, and everyone must pray earnestly to God. They must turn from their evil ways and stop all their violence. Who can tell? Perhaps even yet God will change his mind and hold back his fierce anger from destroying us. And when God saw what they had done and how they had put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he had threatened. It goes on to verse number 4. chapter 4, sorry. This change of plans greatly upset Jonah, and he became very angry. So he complained to the Lord about it. Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? That is why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. Now, you would assume that him being a prophet, somebody sent by God, that when you have a whole city decide to give their lives back to the Lord, that should cause some level of happiness to come on Jonah. Yet, as the scripture says, he was not happy with that. And so he then goes to, and then he starts telling God that I knew that you're a merciful God, slow to get angry, and that's the reason why I didn't want to come here, because I didn't want you to save these people. And so it says that, just kill me now, Lord. I'd rather be dead than alive if what I predicted will not happen. The Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry about this? Then Jonah went out to the east side of the city and made a shelter to sit under as he waited to see what would happen to the city. And the Lord God arranged for a leafy plant to grow there, and soon it spread its broad leaves over Jonah's head, shading him from the sun. This eased his discomfort, and Jonah was very grateful for the plant, and so God is being very kind. But God also arranged for a worm. The next morning at dawn, the worm ate through the stem of the plant so that it withered away. And as the sun grew hot, God arranged for a scorching east wind to blow on Jonah. Isn't it interesting that, you know, all this time it sort of like uses the words in this version anyway, in the New Living Translation, it uses the word arranged. But in other versions, it uses the word prepared. More or less, I guess, the same thing, that now when you see a certain theme or pattern happening in a scripture, we now have to pay attention to that, because it's telling us that there's a message that God is really trying to convey to us, because the same thing keeps happening over and over again. And this is what sometimes happens in our lives, you know, when things happen and it seems that we're going round and round and round in circles. And so a story was told of a husband and wife, and they were driving their car, and they passed a young boy eating an ice cream. And so they were looking for some directions to go somewhere. And eventually, they came back. So the wife, you know, the husband being proud and strong, you know, he's obviously not checking. Back in those days, it would have been maps. In our days, it's just a Siri would tell us where to go. And so the wife then says to the husband, do you know where you're going? You know, it seems that we're going around in circles. And the husband says, keep quiet, I know what I'm doing. And the wife then says, but isn't that the same boy who's eating ice cream that we saw before? And so what happens, you see, is that when you notice a pattern in your life that we are going around in circles, it would suggest that there's something that is wrong. Because we are never meant to always linger in the same place. Once we go around once, we've learned the mistake, and then we move on. But if you keep going around and you keep making the same mistakes, that is a pattern. And that means there's something in our hearts, that an attitude that God wants to perhaps deal with. And so God and Jonah are asking each other questions. And so God arranged for the scorching east wind to blow on Jonah. And so the sun beat down on his head until he grew faint, and Jonah wished to die. This is another key pattern, because if you read from the whole of Jonah, there are many times where Jonah has indicated this desire to want to die. When he was on the ship, he said to the guys, look, you know, guys, just throw me overboard and I will die. But what then happened, you see, is that God arranged for the fish to come at the right time and to gobble Jonah up. And for some reason, he was kept alive in the belly of the fish. So many times he has indicated this desire to want to die. Then he says, death is certainly better than living like this. Then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry because the plant died? And Jonah obviously says, yes, Jonah retorted. even angry enough to die. Then the Lord said, you feel sorry about the plant that you did nothing to put it, but though you did nothing to put it there, it came quickly and died quickly. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention all the animals. Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city? There would have been more than 120,000 living in spiritual darkness. What's quite interesting is that you would think the one thing that would have made Jonah happy, you know, to see people give their lives to the Lord, would be something that he would be excited about. But it seems to me that his reputation as a prophet who predicted, you know, who said that in 40 days' time, death is coming to Nineveh if you don't repent. Now, we know the number 40 in the Bible is talks about judgment, you know, where Jesus fasted for 40 days and then, of course, after that, he was tempted. You know, it rained 40 days and 40 nights. So it's just an indication of judgment. And I think last week we mentioned something as we were discussing, and it was more about that God is always right. God is always right. And we ask ourselves, well, in this instance, how is it that God is always right? You see, if we can remember, because the key theme that has really angered Jonah is the fact that God has saved the people of Nineveh. And so something that really ticked him off is to say, why did you save the people of Nineveh? And the key thing you see is that as an Israelite, Jonah would have experienced, whether it was himself or his parents saying something about how the Assyrians, who the Ninevites were, they were really bad people. They were very cruel, like we heard last week. They would just kill people and do inhumane things to them. And so he wanted the city of Nineveh to be completely destroyed. So when he proclaimed that in 40 days' time this is going to happen, he was expecting judgment on them. Now, unfortunately, they, when they heard the words of Jonah, they sort of like said, you know, I think, guys, it's time for us to turn our lives around. And the key thing is that all that incident of him being spat out by the fish onto the beach, other people would have seen that, isn't it abnormal for a man to be, you know, he probably came out really bleached, and that became a conversation point for the people of Nineveh, so that when he began to proclaim this is what is going to happen, they all said to themselves, well, we better listen to this guy. We know what just happened to him. And so they turned their lives around to the Lord. And this displeased him to no end. And the reason why God is always right, because the attitude of the Ninevites was something that God accepted, where they turned, they repented, they changed the way they were doing things. And I remember, you know, in sort of Solomon said this when he was dedicating the temple in 1 Kings 8, 41 to 43. He says, in the future, and this is Solomon praying to God, foreigners who do not belong to your people, Israel, will hear of you. They will come from distant lands because of your name, for they will hear of your great name and your strong hand and your powerful arm. And when they pray toward this temple, then hear from heaven where you live and grant what they ask of you. In this way, all the people of the earth will come to know and fear you, just as your own people Israel do. They too will know that this temple I have built honors your name. In Isaiah 19, verse 19 to 25, it says, you know, in that day there'll be an order to the Lord in the heart of Egypt, and there'll be a monument to the Lord at its border. It'll be a sign and a witness that the Lord of heaven's armies is worshipped in the land of Egypt. When the people cry to the Lord for help against those who oppress them, he will send them a savior who will rescue them. The Lord will make himself known to the Egyptians. They will know the Lord and will give their sacrifices and offerings to him. This is what the Egyptians will do. And this is what Isaiah is prophesying. And then I'll just paraphrase. In that day, Egypt and Assyria will be connected by a highway. The Egyptians and Assyrians will move freely between their lands, and they will both worship God. In that day, Israel will be third, along with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing during the earth. For the Lord of heaven's armies will say, blessed be Egypt, my people. Blessed be Assyria, the land I have made. And blessed be Israel, my special possession. Now, I wonder whether Jonah would have reflected on what God had said previously. And this is what we're saying, you see, is that God is always right. Because what he's just answering the prayer of Solomon to say, if people genuinely give their lives to you, then you can abate, you can heal them and stop them from certain destruction. And this is what God does. And so when he asks Jonah this question, he says, do you have any right to be angry? And this is what God does when he's trying to locate or to reveal what is in our hearts. He uses questions to do that. Remember the time when Jonah was swallowed up by the fish? He prayed this prayer in chapter 2, and a very nice long prayer. And then at the end of it, he says, but I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise, and I will fulfill all my vows, for my salvation comes from the Lord. How interesting is it that this guy, he prayed that prayer out of desperation, you know, and God forgave him, and God then sent a fish. Because the key thing is that after he had prayed that prayer, God sent the fish to come and to rescue him. But there was an attitude, there was a prejudice that Jonah had, this prejudice that he had to the Assyrians that clouded his perspective on what God wanted to do through him. And so instead of being happy, all of a sudden he becomes very sad about the situation that has just happened. One of the things that can cause us perhaps to be like Jonah or have the attitude of Jonah is where there is an expectations gap in our life. So I expect this, you know, or I can say an expectations gap, something that everybody will relate to. You're expecting $100 to come into your account, and you get $55. Now, you are calling the office. I worked 10 hours at $10 an hour. Why do I only have $55? Then they say, oh, well, sir or madam, we saw you take some pens. You know, a deduction has happened for some of the pens that you took, and you said you were going to pay us, but you didn't, so we've taken the money, rightfully so. And so what happens, you see, is that, or another way is that those 10 hours, you're expecting 10, but the manager says, nah, I'm disputing that, so I'm only going to authorize 5.5 hours. So now you're really ticked off. Because you see, you were expecting 100, you only got 55. And this is what happens, you see, when all of a sudden we are expecting God to have done certain things in our lives, that God has spoken words in your life, and, you know, 1 year goes by, or 1 month, half a year, a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, unanswered prayer. There you go, yes. So unanswered prayer. And then, but also, what happens, you see, with that unanswered prayer is that you start to lose a bit of your hope. The hope starts to fade. You're expecting him to do certain things, you know, and then those things take a long time. And the other thing is that you were praying for somebody who was sick, who was close to you, you know, and you were believing and very strong in your belief that I know the Lord heals, he does all these things. Unfortunately, the Lord doesn't heal them. That person passes away. So now we have an expectations gap, is that what we expected and what we got are very different. And what can tend to happen is that we can become very cynical, you know? And how it comes out is in our speech. Whenever somebody says something about, oh, the Lord does this, you'll be like, yeah, but, you know, there's always a but that will come into that particular situation. You know, the Lord will do this, but, and so you become cynical, and what tends to happen, you see, is that there's a rottenness that can begin to develop on the inside of you. You know, I recall a time when I had left my job, and I'm going to start a business, and I was very excited, and, you know, you make all the plans that things are going to go well, and they didn't go well. You know, things started to go really, really badly. And so now you get to a point where you're scared to even open. You know, like nowadays, if it was easier from before, they would send you letters in the post. Your bill would come in the post. Nowadays, it all comes via email. And so Telstra comes through. Your bill for the month is due. Electricity comes through. And so you become so scared to open the bills or the statement, the credit card statement, because you're thinking, oh, no, the card is nearly maxed out, you know. And so what happened is that I became very angry because I'm praying by faith. I'm saying, Lord, you're going to bring the clients. You're going to do this, and everything is going to be gravy. It's going to grow well. And slowly but surely, all the money that we had began to get lesser and lesser because the money that was coming, there was no money coming in. And so now, you know, you're praying hard to God, and it's not happening. And I became very angry and bitter, you know, and cynical, that I recall saying, God, I think you're useless, you know. You know, I my heart was just so rotten on the inside that I was professing those things, and my wife would try and encourage, I wouldn't have a bar of it, you know. I'm like, ah, he's flipping useless, you know. He can't do this, you know. He can't come and take me out of my situation. But that's not where we're supposed to dwell, you know. That is not where we're supposed to dwell. And so sometimes, you see, our attitudes, the prejudices that we have, the unanswered prayer can all weigh down on our spirits, that we fail to see the perspective that God is trying to show us. That is why he said to Jonah, do you have any right to be angry about the plant, that you had no business in creating that plant, but you're so concerned about that you fail to see these people, 120,000 people, more than 120,000 people that I can save? And so what happened is that Jonah now gets into a situation where he is not partaking and enjoying the benefits of what God has done, the blessing of God in his life. And so we get to a part as well, what we sort of like see is that, you know, we spoke about how sometimes we can be guilty of obeying God. And we do it in such a manner that, you know, even though God will come in and speak to him a second time, and that is why there's that word there that says, then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. But what happens if he had spoken to him the first time and he had obeyed and we had obeyed? What happens, you see, is that when we don't listen to the things that God is saying in our lives, we rob ourselves of the seasons of fruitful harvest and blessing, because we have to go around the mountain one more time. And that's not the place that God wants us to be, you know. So if we don't deal with some of our attitudes, our perspectives, God, in his graciousness, is either going to arrange or prepare a great fish, a plant, a worm, and a wind. And in all this time that's happening in this scripture, God is really working on the prophet's heart. He's saying to him, there's something that is stopping you from seeing things the way that I want you to see them. Your perspective on things has been so clouded by your prejudice towards the Assyrians, where you would rather I kill them than for you to see that I am gracious towards all people. And this is what may happen for some of us, where the things that we are experiencing will cloud the perspective of what God is doing in our lives. And even for young people, you may think, you know, I'm young, you know, my parents take care of things. But you know what? There comes a time when you'll have the opportunity to either do something that is right or something that is wrong. And the best thing you can do as a young person is to say, you know what? I am going to obey early. Because there are blessings for obeying early. There are blessings for doing things the way God wants you to do them. Even though popular culture will say you can go around, you can kiss anybody, you can sleep with anybody. But there is something about standing and saying, you know what, I am going to do things the way that God wants me to do things. And so how do we get rid of this heart that has become cynical? This heart that just doesn't care, you know, about that is so angry. And the anger then just clouds your judgment, it clouds your perspective. And one of the things that we can do is to have a soft spot for God in our lives. And I recall during those times where I didn't want, I was very angry with the Lord. I can't say I read my Bible, if I can be honest. In fact, I didn't, you know. And that is why I probably got off YouVersion. You know, because you know when you're on YouVersion, it will tell all your friends that, oh, so-and-so has done their devotional for the day. And I thought the best thing for me to do is just to get off it so that nobody is going to see my lack of activity. Never read the Bible, was angry. But one thing I did do was I would still have a quiet time, but I wouldn't say anything. Just sit there and be grumpy. Sit there and be grumpy but I'll just let the worship music just flow over me. Just let the worship music flow over me. And so if we're going to change and let go of things in our lives that are holding us back, we have to have a soft spot for God and to not abandon meeting with the Lord, even if you don't say anything when you do meet with Him. And I like how Charles Spurgeon said about how the real work of preparation happened to Jonah. He said, I would suggest to some of you, and I quote, I would suggest to some of you here who have to bear double trouble that God may be preparing you for double usefulness, or He may be working out for you some unusual form of evil which might not be driven out of you unless His Holy Spirit had used these mysterious methods with you to teach you more fully about God's mind. And so sometimes God will use things in your life, the disappointments in your life, He will use those things to help you see His bigger perspective. And one thing I love about God, the way that this scripture ends, you know, in chapter 4, it says, then the Lord, you know, it says that God said, shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city? But the pursuit all along, yes, it was about Nineveh, but it was a pursuit for the prophet's heart. That God was relentless in His pursuit for Jonah. That He wanted Jonah to see that, you know what? There is a plan, that there is an attitude that's on the inside of you. There's a prejudice that is stopping you from seeing things my way and from enjoying the blessings that I want to give to you. Because imagine the impact that he could have had he had the right attitude when Nineveh was saved. This could have been replicated in other cities across, you know, across the lands they lived in. But that prejudice stopped him from going in to do a lasting work in the people of Nineveh because they repented at that time. But what about later on? Now, he had an opportunity to witness something even bigger. But what stopped him was the prejudice that he had, where he wanted to see God come in and destroy. But God is relentless. God will pursue you. He will do whatever it takes to get to your heart, for him to reveal what is in your heart. And as he reveals what's in your heart, it's not meant to hurt you. It's meant for you to sort of like put yourself in the right alignment with him and with the things that God wants to do in your life. And so just as we end, you know, I'll get the team to come up, and if we can play that surrender song. You know, things in life happen to us. You know, we have, you can be married, and spouse, you know, cheats on you and leaves you for somebody else, and then you're dealing with identity issues. You know, you're dealing with favoritism, where you feel that other people are favored more than you, and it leaves something deep on the inside of you. It begins to question your self-worth. You're dealing with so many years of unanswered prayer, and you've become cynical, thinking, well, surely can the Lord save? Can the Lord come through for me? Dealing with disappointment, just the disappointments of life, you know, the way that you were treated unfairly by people. And God wants to renew your joy this morning. God wants to renew your heart so that you'll become more aware of the things that God wants to do in your life. And so what I would like us to do this morning is, as we finish, is, you know, if I can invite everybody to stand. God is relentless in his pursuit of you, that he will move mountains to just get to you. He will do things just to get your attention so that he will bring blessings in your life. And that's the whole thing that God wants, is that he wants to set you free so that as he sets you free, you are able to live the full life that you never thought was actually possible. And so what I want to do is that I'm going to give an opportunity, as we do every Sunday, for those that have never made a decision, you know, to give their lives over to the Lord. And then also I'm going to make a special request that if your heart was saddened because of unanswered prayer, you know, and just attitudes that were wrong towards the Lord, just an opportunity where, you know, I'll pray for you. We'll pray together. You know, that God will heal you, and that you can trust that God is always right, and that God will bring things to pass in his own time. And so if you just would pray after me, just this is the prayer that we all do every week. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die for me on the cross. Jesus, I repent of my sins and my wrongdoing. And this day, I choose to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.